announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Watch therefore and be ready, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Those were Jesus' very important words at the end of the parable of the 10 virgins in the Olivet Discourse. That's what we're considering today on Abounding Grace Radio, that we would be a watching and a ready people for the second coming of Jesus. The scriptures give great attention to this. They want God's people looking for the coming day, expecting it, living in light of it. That's what we're considering today on Abounding Grace, the importance of being ready, watching for this great day. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. If you are tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, U.S., Canada, or worldwide online, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for taking time out of your day to tune in. Please visit us again on that web address at agradio.org. Many resources there for you. All of these programs are there free for download. You also have access to articles and resources to help you. Please visit that website. Also, links to churches in your area and a way to support us right there online. And also find us on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio or on Twitter at AG Radio 1. So thankful you take time to tune out of your day. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday. Watch therefore and be ready. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Five were wise and five were foolish. We're looking at people who claim to belong to the bridegroom. We're looking at people who say they're coming to the bridegroom. Christ has made this distinction in the body, in here in the church. You'll notice this, that we're looking at this. Virgins have all throughout Scripture, have had a symbol of purity, have had those who belong to the Lord. But it's interesting here when you think about what Jesus is doing, of his real concern to press us to think about, are we ready, and what is the state of those who say they belong to him before he comes? I remember my grandma used to always say to me, if you want to know the state of things, Chris, she was a dear believer. She studied all the time. She used to say, you don't, and this always stuck with me. She's right. You don't need to look in the world to know the state of things. You need to look in the church to know the state of things. Look where the church is. Jesus was always giving calls about this. The scriptures all over the place are giving calls about this. Remember what Paul would say in Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to wake up out of sleep. You, believers. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. You can go right to Ephesians 5 and hear the same thing. So it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and don't get drunk. He's making constant contrast this way. Drowsy saints. I don't believe this is ever meant. The hard part in preaching this is you stem back from this, you say, well, it feels like Jesus is just scaring people into the kingdom, and that's not at all what he's doing. I'm going to help you to see that. But he is telling us what the kingdom is like with the goal that we would be an awake people. And that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. This is exactly what we read from Calvin last week as he opened up in dealing with 2 Peter chapter 3, that this is how the Lord stirs us up to be ready. He gives us passages like this, and this is exactly the way to wake us up. That's why we as pastors have to preach this, and I think there's no better time than at the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. It will be very characteristic before the second coming that there will be many slumbering in the kingdom, many sleeping. The problem is posed in verse 3. They took their lamps with no oil in them. You could read volumes on what the oil is.
Don't even think about what the oil is. It's not helpful. Here's what he's saying. There are some ready and there are some who are not. That's all that's saying. I marvel at the state of things today. You know, I rarely meet people who say they don't believe. It's really remarkable still in our post-Christian society how many people still say they believe. There are many who don't get me wrong. But I'm amazed at how many say they do. And if you press them, there's no commitment to worship. There's no commitment to any church. There's really kind of a scoffing at it. There's no real desire for fellowship. There's no involvement in the body of Christ. There's little sense of importance among these people of what we call the means of grace, the need to receive grace, and why we need to come to church. They don't even understand why we do. Christianity in our time, listen, and it's a danger in our own ranks. Christianity in our time in America, for many, is simply a cultural phenomenon. You understand that? Cultural Christianity, that's all it is. It's a mile wide, an inch deep. They aren't ready at all. They aren't ready at all. Jesus encourages us here in the midst of this saying, there are those who are ready. You'll notice this here as he says, the wise took oil in their jars with their lamps. What's he saying? There are people who are ready. There are people who are watching. There are people who are looking. I thought last week in 2 Peter chapter 3, that verse at the end was so wonderful. Listen to this verse. But according to his promise, we are waiting. We are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. Can you say that tonight? You're waiting for that? I'm not saying you perfectly wait for that. But can you say tonight you wait for that? Can you say tonight you believe that's coming? Then you're carrying oil. You're believing. This is the encouragement that he gives in the midst of this. The writer, Paul to Thessalonians says the same thing. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep. We know in our ranks those who are asleep, and we should be helping them. But don't be like them. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. You hear that? God didn't appoint you for wrath, but to receive salvation. You believe that? I trust you do. There are ready people for this, and he's made a people ready. But here's my problem. Here's your problem. Went around the room tonight and I asked, do you feel ready? Not many hands would go up. Not many hands would go up. We don't often feel ready. Prayer is weak. Trust is not what we want. We struggle with every kind of worldly lust under the sun just like everyone else. And I think Jesus recognizes that here. Verse 5 is so interesting to me. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Well, that's not just talking about taking a nap. I think Jesus is really telling us what he said elsewhere. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why? Because when the Son of Man comes, is he really going to find faith on the earth? Meaning, it's going to be a time of great drowsiness among the people of God. And we have to know that. Jesus called us to pray, to be looking. What amazes me is the fact that he seems to be saying that there will be a great struggle even among the righteous at times to slumber in our anticipation of his return. And haven't you felt that? Have we really been so anticipating that he'll come? If you don't believe this is possible, look at righteous Lot. They had to pull him out. The angels had to come out of Sodom and pull him out. I've often thought that if we want to understand the end, you have to look carefully at the time just before Christ's crucifixion. It's one of the greatest moments to study what the end will be like. Remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember when Jesus is going to the cross and his soul becomes incredibly tormented. In other words, he begins to sweat drops of blood. The wrath of God is falling on him for their sins. And he says to his disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. For the flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And three times he comes back, and what are they doing? They're asleep. I wonder if this is on Jesus' mind when he's telling this parable, because we're right connecting with the Olivet discourse and all of these events. Christ calling them to be awake, and they're asleep. Comfort is that all along the way, Jesus is praying for his own. John 17, that not one of those given to him by the Father would be lost. In our weakness, he is our strength. But I think it's important to feel the pressing of Jesus in this parable, aside from all that beautiful truth. And the importance of this is to say that even though at the end the church will seem defeated and close to extinction as they slumber, they're still the Lord's, his people. When the call comes, they're getting up. They're going to come, his people. Although even maybe at times your zeal and your excitement for this coming has waned, even in the Lord's tarrying, even though we become sluggish, the Lord has telling us when his call comes, his sheep will hear his voice and they will be up. But the pressing of the parable is this: be awake. Be awake. And we have, at this point, Jesus really laying that down for us. For when the crisis comes, when the day comes, what happens? Well, he says in verse 6, at midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. We've been preaching come to Jesus for a long time. We've been preaching this message for a long time. And it says in verse 7, doesn't it? Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said what? Come back to that. Think about this day for a minute. When he actually arrives, how wonderful it's going to be. On that day, he's coming to be glorified in his people, to be marveled at among those who have believed. 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, he's gathering us together, and we will always be with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 4 said, thus always comfort one another with these words. But verse 8, Jesus presses us with the foolish. For when that day comes, and in all these calls that have come, what do they say? They say, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Well, that's such a sobering verse, isn't it? The door is shut. It's the same sort of language when the ark door was shut and God had shut in his people into that ark before the flood came. It's the same language that's being used. The kingdom is shut. The day of salvation is over and it is past. There's no more entering. I told you the other day, I met a man who said to me, who's a practicing Jew, who said to me, I won't believe until your Messiah comes. Too late. Heaven will be a time of praising the Lord day and night for redeeming us by the blood of the Lamb. I was taken by a question that James Boyce asked as I was reading him this week and reflecting on what he did with this. And he said this, How do you know what camp you're in? He said something interesting. If the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the division it will cause will bring out the true condition of those who profess Christianity, but who are not actually born again, isn't it also the case that their condition may be revealed by lesser but nevertheless real crisis experiences now? Huh. If this is so, you can anticipate the results of the final judgment in the way you react to the problems that come into your life day by day. Do your problems drive you away from the church and drive you away from Jesus? Or do your problems drive you to His Word and to Him? That's my question. I want to speak to some of the young people tonight. I don't know how many are here. I hope the parents brought them. But if not, you'll tell them to listen to it. I love our young people. I know the struggles. I've lived a lot of them. Some may really question this. And you may really struggle with where you are and what all this means. And at times you feel like, I don't even know if I believe it. The Lord Jesus, number one, is encouraging you to take these calls of parents and of the schools and all the help that you have had very seriously. To believe what's been given to you, what's been signified to you, what's been handed to you, and what's been all these blessings that have been given to you all the way from your baptism. To believe these things. To trust in Him. To not doubt. The point of the parable is, at the end of the day, and this is what I have to say as a pastor, none of us ride in on the coattails of anyone else. You may have had great parents. You may have had lousy parents. You may have had everything handed to you. You may have had nothing handed to you. At the end of the day, you stand on your own two feet before God, dealing with this great question, have I come and I believed in Jesus and trusted Him? If you can say yes tonight, and you've trusted the gospel promises, you are carrying your oil. You're a ready people. But if not, you have to take this seriously, that you could find yourself outside of the kingdom. You could find the door shut, and the whole attitude that you've demonstrated now, you'll have no chance to change. You feel this? This is the call of it. Hear the call of the gospel. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of mercy. He ends this parable saying this. Watch, therefore, you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. What is watching? What is watching? Well, there's no doubt that watching is watching your life. Which direction are you going? Are you believing these promises? And does your life demonstrate that? Does it show anticipating a joy of already worshiping the Lord, for this is what we'll be doing in glory? Or do you scoff at His bride? What is our attitude to the body of Christ? Do you watch your life? Are you convicted about your sins? Do you confess them and come to the Lord? Most of all, have you come and received from His hand forgiveness? Watch your life and anticipate that this is not it. There's way more to this than what is now. It's a short time we're here under the sun. I want to, I've used it before, but there's new people here, and you'll hear it again, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you. But I want to read something I wrote years ago, because it's so timely. This, I have not preached this text. I don't even know if I've preached it in my years of ministry. Maybe once, early on, but I haven't touched it since something that happened in 2008. And I want to read this story to you. I think you'll understand why it's so important tonight in this connection. It was the summer of 2008. I flew up to Lethbridge, Alberta, to officiate a wedding. I was invited to stay at the home of Reverend Eric and Finema. I had already met Eric at previous church meetings, but this was my first real introduction to this very energetic preacher in our federation of churches. We immediately had a Jonathan and David kind of relationship. All of our convictions were the same. We stayed up late that Saturday night just talking about everything, ministry, the church, the challenges. I remember Eric stating how encouraging it was to meet a young pastor who shared the same convictions about preaching and the proper manner in which Christian ministry should occur. Eric felt alone in his convictions anymore. I preached for Eric that Sunday in Lethbridge and made him a promise that if he ever came to Linden, he would return the favor and preach for the Linden URC. A few months later, I received an email from Eric. He and his wife Helen would be traveling to Linden to meet up with his daughter and son-in-law, and as promised, he would like to fulfill his commitment to preach for us. It was August 31, 2008. I looked down at the bulletin, and there it was. Watch, therefore. Matthew 25:1-13. Eric delivered one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard. It was on the parable of the 10 virgins. He spoke with authority. He delivered a message with unction. He pressed people into the kingdom, pleading with us to see that there are many in the kingdom who are not ready for the Lord's coming. His coming for us could be at any hour, whether it be his physical return or our sudden deaths. He preached as a dying man to dying men, and everyone knew it. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Had a wonderful time of fellowship with Eric that night. I remember receiving an email on Wednesday from Eric telling me how much he appreciated the time with us in Linden, the opportunity to preach. And then he concluded the email, until we meet again. It was Saturday morning. I was in my study. And as I opened my email box, a new message appeared. I've saved that email. I'll never forget it. I'm emailing you to tell you sad news that today, Reverend Finema went to be with the Lord. He had a massive heart attack and died. Couldn't be. He was just here. The only way to describe what I felt was empty. After gathering myself, I began to reflect. Pieces came together. Eric's last message on earth was to us in the Linden URC, and it was a plea to watch, therefore, and be ready, because we do not know the day nor the hour. And before we had gathered the next Sunday, he was gone. I may not have understood the why in the sudden death of a minister so capable of preaching the gospel, 59 years old, how all these things work together for good, but I did see God's intention in laying before us the serious call to be ready. A few days after receiving this painful news, I was asked by Helen to preach Eric's funeral. Before 1,000-plus souls, I delivered a message from Psalm 121, titled The Pilgrim's Keeper. Looking over a tearful, hurting congregation in Lethbridge, I said the following. Amid all the pain and tears we're experiencing now, we know that Pastor Finema's death was not in vain. God was not sleeping during his sudden death. God was sovereign in his going out and his coming in. This was all according to plan. And since Christ rose from the dead, Pastor Finema will rise again. But the Lord is teaching us something more through your pastor's sudden death. The question mark is not over the life of Eric Finema. God brings us back today through Pastor Finema's witness to the question that is now before us. Are you ready? Messengers will come and go, but the message will continue. The word of the Lord endures forever. The message I preach, the message your pastor preach, is that which is before you at this hour. Watch, therefore. Ensure that your lamp is full. In other words, come to Jesus now. You do not know the day nor the hour. Do you know the keeper of your souls? Do you have access to the hill of the Lord? Do you know the one in whom there is help, salvation, deliverance? There can be only one answer given to those questions today. And I use the very last words of Eric Finema in his very last sermon. You need Christ. You need the gospel. Amen.
Been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.